All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, last week we talked about kindness, the law of kindness. Told you we're going to spend a little while here just talking about Christian virtues or Christian character. A lot of people don't seem to associate that with... Oh, well, thank you. A lot of people don't seem to associate these things with being a Christian. Somehow it's been separated. Being a Christian means simply that you're going to go to heaven when you die. You might be arrogant, hateful, mean, unkind, dishonest, foul-mouthed. You might be all of that still on your way to heaven. Well, that's not true at all. But everything's been so confused. We were talking this morning about how confusing it is getting and how the devil is... He is at war with God, with God's people, with all things good. He is at war. And he's stepped it up in these last days. And so nobody seems to understand these things anymore. That a Christian is like this. A Christian has these qualities. They're not options that you can check or uncheck like you're going to order a new car or something. They're not options. We're talking about kindness. Tonight we're going to talk about patience. We're going to talk about charity. We're going to talk about hatefulness. There's some things we've got to go come at from the other side. But anyway, let's read these scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 through 10. It just starts right off with something real important, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Well, that's enough for a message right there. Giving no offense in anything. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. This is not talking to just a select group of people within Christianity called ministers. I want you to understand that. That's talking to every one of you as well as to me. We're all his ministers. Servant. Minister means servant. We're all his servants, aren't we? Yes, we're to represent him well in this world. So we ought to, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. That means everybody ought to believe you're real. Nobody should be offended by what you do. They ought to be convinced that you're real. All right, then it says in much patience. Here's the rest of these scriptures just talk about how to not give offense in anything, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of Christ. First thing it starts out with is in much patience. In much patience. Not just in patience, in much patience. Patience is one of those things that it takes a lot of. You can't just have a little patience. That means you don't have any patience. Patience is a bulk quantity thing. If you have it, you're going to have a lot of it. Can't really say you're patient if you just say, okay. Patience is not patience if you run up beside somebody on the road and they're going slow and you just say, that's not patience at all. Hope you can understand this as we go on through it. Let me just stop here and get on with it. We'll come back and read the rest of it here directly. It says, giving no offense. That's to provide no reason for anyone to reject or despise God and his truth. You realize how bad it is if somebody ends up in hell because of something I said or did or some attitude I had or because I just didn't have any patience and hauled off and unloaded on them. You know, patience, let me just stick here. I got a few things I want to say that are not in here, so I hope I don't forget them. Lord, help me not forget those things. On the contrary, everything we do and say, everything you do and say, everything I do and say should be a positive influence on others to embrace the truth of the Word of God. That's what being a witness is. Being a witness is not knowing the Romans Road and not knowing the four steps and not knowing the plan and having a good sales pitch and being real persuasive. That's not being a witness. Being a witness for God is how you live your life. so that everything you say and the way you say it, everything you do and the way you do it, that everything that people perceive about you convinces them that you're a real Christian.
Yes, sir.
Now that's the deal here tonight. Patience is a key to this whole thing. Oh, it's a big, important thing. In much patience. Patience is not defined as waiting 1, 2, 3 and then losing it. That ain't patience. Patience is never losing it. The main focus of what he's saying here has to do with our behavior and not so much what we say. Patience is not a thing that we say with our lips. All right, now I'm going to have patience with you. That don't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. Don't convince anybody of nothing. How do we know if somebody is patient with us? Because they're patient with us.
Yes.
It's not because they say they are. It's not because they say they're going to be. It's because they are.
Yeah.
It's easy to preach to others about what we have or how we ought to live, but it's another matter to live it consistently and without wavering when it's tried. What has patience got to do with being tried? Very, very much. It's what's being tried. Faith and patience go together. And it's the thing that is tried. Giving no offense is easy when everything's comfortable and circumstances cooperate with us, but it's another matter when everything turns against us. As long as we can just coast along and there's no opposition and there's no resistance and there's no trouble, well, we can be a good Christian.
Yeah, sure.
Just praise the Lord and sing Jesus loves me, this I know, and just be happy. But when trouble comes or somebody opposes you or some tragedy happens, and then we see. Not only does everybody else see what we are, but we see what we are, if we'll be honest. Patience. Do you have patience? I mean, we ought to have a mirror here. Everybody hold up the mirror and look at it and say, do you have patience? Giving no offense. That's the whole idea here. We don't want to offend anybody. Do you know what that word means? It means to make them stumble. That's what offense really means. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you love the law of God, you're going to continue. Ain't nothing going to stop you. No matter what other people do, ain't nobody going to trip you up. You're going to make it if you love the law of God. In much patience. Well, that's the issue that Paul is focusing on here in these verses. Patience is the virtue that is probably the most tried of all the Christian virtues. Say our faith is tried, not all the time, like our patience is tried. We can go a long time believing God and going along without our faith really being tried by fire. We can. It's not tried by fire all the time. Our faith's not tried by fire every day. Our patience is tried every day. It's a continual trial. It's a continual temptation. The devil knows it's our weak point. He knows that he can trip us up there easier than he can trip us up anywhere else. Through lust of the flesh, through any other kind of thing, he can't trip us up near as easily and near as often, nearly as often as he can with our patience. He can just pick at us a little bit and rah, you know. See, that's what I'm getting at here tonight. We need to get a handle on that. We need to know. We need to understand that if we're going to be a Christian and we're going to represent God in this world, we're going to have much patience. It's a virtue that identifies us as His. It's the virtue that's probably tested most. It's the thing that is first tested when you become a Christian. The very first thing that's going to be put to the trial is your patience. If you work someplace, or if you go to school someplace, and you get saved, and you go back there, and they find out you're saved, the very first thing they're going to do is start picking at you to see if they can get a rise out of you, to see if you'll strike back, to see if they can provoke you to say something, to do something, to fly off the handle, so they can say, "Aha!" See? Oh, yeah. It's the devil's delight. And it's the delight of all the devil's people to be able to say to a Christian, "Aha! They know that patience is a Christian virtue that belongs there, that has to be there, that must be there." Patience here is what it means. Here it means cheerful, patient endurance of afflictions of all kinds. Patient endurance. There's another verse in the Bible that says those words, patient endurance. I remember preaching on it one time. It means, out of the dictionary, it means the suffering of afflictions, pain and toil, calamity and provocation or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Well, can you do that? How often do you fail at that? All of us need to examine ourselves in this today, tonight. We need to just, this is not me picking on you. This is the Word of God to all of us here. All of us, me included. This is true. No matter how you accept it or reject it, how you dismiss it or you accept it and consider it, it doesn't matter. This is the truth. And we need to pay attention to it. With an unruffled temper, in endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Wow. So patience means I don't gripe about it either. That hard, Gary? Gary's frowning at me. Well, that is kind of hard.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that nulls it. You can say, "I'm being patient. I'm being patient with that low down, dirty, rotten." No, that's not patience. Patience, by the dictionary definition, means without. It means impatient, endurance of affliction, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil, suffering without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from what? Where does it come from?
Tribulation.
Well, that's true. But I mean, if we are patient, it can come from different places. It can come from constitutional fortitude. I mean, just buckle up and say, "I ain't doing it. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to strike back. I'm not going to do it." People can do a lot of things without God. Mm-hmm. They can quit drinking without God. They can quit smoking without God. They can quit dope without God. They can do it. And they can be patient without God, too. Not the best way, but it can be done. It can come from a kind of heroic pride. Yeah. This works both ways in this. People hold their peace in order to prevail. Well, if you do hold your peace, you will prevail. You'll come out ahead. But to do it for that reason, that's not, you can do that naturally. You understand what I'm saying to you there? You can do that. Pride is also the reason that people are not patient, because they feel like that if I don't respond to this, it's going to be perceived as weakness in my part or cowardice. And I'm no coward. And ain't going to tell me what that, ain't going to do me that way. Not going to tell me without me. I'm going to give them peace of my mind. I'll tell them where. I'll get even. I'll make them understand what fool they are. I mean, patience is proud. Lack of patience is due to pride. Because you're afraid of being considered weak. Real patience doesn't care about that. Real patience is mature enough to see around all that and go on. It can also come from Christian submission to the divine will. Now that's where you want your patience to come from. You don't want to try to do this just because you're tough enough and determined enough and your will is strong enough to just be patient. You don't want to do it that way. Because you're going to get, that won't stand too much of a trial. And you don't want to do it just because out of pride to be better than everybody else or to set yourself up above everybody else. You understand what I'm saying to you there? A lot of people do it because they want to show them that I'm a better person than them. You don't want to do it for that reason. You know, you don't want your patience to be founded in that kind of a shaky foundation. The reason that we need to be patient is because we are submitted to the divine will. I mean, we're submitted to God, and we want to please Him. How did the verse start out? Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. That's the reason we want to be patient. We want people to understand that we're patient. We want to exercise patience for that reason. All right, patience is a calm temper which bears evils without murmuring or discontent. The act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good, either way, without discontent. You know, people that can't wait to Christmas to open their Christmas presents, they're not patient people. And they're not going to exercise patience in any other thing either.
No.
Can't you wait? Well, that's part of being patient. You patiently wait. Don't you see how strong that is, really? When it comes to dealing with other people, when it comes to you enduring wrongs that are done to you, why can't you just wait and let God take care of it? Doesn't the Bible say, "Vengeance is mine," saith the Lord? You don't mess with it. Don't you worry about it. I will take care of those who wrong you. God says. He promises us. So why do we have a hard time waiting on Him? Why do we say, "No, never mind. I'm taking care of this one myself"? No patience. It requires patience,
yes, sir,
to just wait and not complain. In all things of life, the hardship, the wrongs that are done to us, the hardships, the losses. I just don't know why this had to happen to me. I don't know how I'm going to make it without this person or without this job or without this place to live. Everything about living for God requires patience. Wait on the Lord. And again I say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Bible's just full of wait. Wait, wait. That's patience. Patience. Perseverance. Patience is perseverance. Patience is constancy in labor or exertion. That means steady. Patience is steady. You just keep on, you keep on, you keep on. I seen a fellow yesterday said he had moved 20 tons of gravel. How you do it? One shovel at a time. Yeah. Well, that's very true. That is just how you do it. That's how you get a great big job done. You just start. And you just keep working. A little at a time. Boy, the first two or three shovels full, you think, "I'll never make it." Yes, you will. Just keep it going. Little here and a little there. That's how it works. And so, that's the way this works. Patience is sticking with it. Patience is being the same. Staying the same. Staying the same. The quality of bearing offenses and injuries without anger or revenge. Have you got to that point in your life where when somebody does you wrong, you don't just get angry? I mean, angry. Has anybody got to that point in your life? Well, you ought to. It's a whole lot different with me now than it used to be. I feel like I've gained ground in that, I'll tell you that. I sure do. I've had to learn to be patient through some very hard things, hard lessons. Patience is the quality that precedes and accompanies holiness and godliness. just like lust precedes and accompanies sin. Think about it. Patience is that quality that precedes and accompanies holiness and godliness. Just like lust is the quality that precedes sin. Think about it. Patience is an important virtue.
Yes, sir.
Virtue means strength. Y'all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Virtue means strength. That's the first definition of the word. Patience is strength. Strength to live for God, to be a faithful witness for Him, to keep from offending other people and making them stumble and being a problem for other people. Patience is waiting, while lust says, I must have it and I must have it now. Mm-hmm. That's what lust is. I'm going to have it and I'm going to have it now. That's what lust says. Mm-hmm. Patience says wait.
Yeah.
Just wait. You need to learn that word real good. Learn to say it to yourself real well. Just wait. Just wait. You save a lot of money that way.
Yes, that's true.
Just wait. Just wait. Patience is directly connected to faith. There's verses I wanted to put on here, but it was going to make me run onto another sheet of paper, so I didn't put them down there. But there's all kinds of verses where faith and patience are connected together. Faith in God requires patience. I'm saying a lot. Y'all listening? Mm-hmm. Faith in God requires patience. It's not an instant thing. It's not something that just click and there it is. You got it. Faith in God is long coming. And it's slow and growing. It's a thing that grows and builds through the years as you live for God and you experience life here on earth with God. You learn to believe Him more and more. But it takes patience to do that. See, patience is the thing. I've always said it for years. You know, if you can get somebody to come to church and sit in a chair, a pew, and listen, and somebody will preach the truth, if they will stay put and wait, God will get them every time.
Yes, sure will.
But they won't sit there.
Nope.
They won't wait. They're going to just drop in, drop out. They're just going to fly through. That's the way everybody does, isn't it? All the visitors we have, that's the way they do. They just fly in, fly out. Just, I mean, once in a great while, they just drop in here and drop out.
Yeah.
God ain't never going to do nothing for you that way.
No.
You might enjoy the service, and you might hear some things that really sound right, but it's not going to be a work done in your heart. It takes patience. You got to wait on the Lord. I have to do that. If I sit down to read and I've got all of the things on my mind that I've got to work on and got to do and all the jobs and everything and it's just racing through my mind and I sit down to read, it takes a while. A lot of times I'll just, you know, I just can't. I just got too much on my mind. But if I don't do that and get up and leave, if I'll sit there and I'll just keep reading and every once in a while I'll just grab up my mind and go, now, listen, think. Concentrate. If I'll do that long enough, it changes. I forget all that. And the Word of God speaks to me. And I get things from it. But not until I wait a while. Not until I exercise some patience. That's really true. I'm telling y'all the truth now. Faith in God requires patience. Faith in God produces patience. It sure does. If you believe God, you'll wait on God. You believe Jesus is coming?
Yes, sir.
I do. I'm waiting on Him.
Yes, sir, me too.
I'm patiently waiting for the clouds to reveal Him, for the trumpet to sound. I'm patiently waiting to be caught up together with Him in the clouds. It's going to happen. But I don't know when. Everybody's been waiting for the last 2,000 years, and He hasn't come. Does that mean He's not going to come? No, that's not what that means at all. That just means that we're way closer now than anybody else has ever been.
That's right.
To His coming.
Yes, sir.
Faith in God produces patience. I can wait. looking pretty scary around us in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But I can wait. That's what I'm looking to. That's what I'm waiting for. Lack of patience, therefore, is evidence of lack of faith. If faith produces patience, and what I just said there, that God, faith in God produces patience, and faith in God requires patience, then if I don't have any patience, that means I don't have any faith.
That's right.
Let that sink in for a minute. See, we need to just get real about our Christianity.
Yes, sir.
We need to get real about and everybody talks about my faith, my faith, my faith. This judge there interviewing for the Supreme Court, you know, and all that's what the way she describes her religion. It's her faith. Their faith is very important to them. Well, that's wonderful. I'd just like to hear one of them say the Lord's very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God is very important to us. I'd like to hear one of them say that. What would be wrong with that? These senators and congressmen that are Muslims and they want to get sworn in, they refuse to swear on a Bible. They got to have the Quran, so they're clear about what they are loyal to. Why is it wrong in America for anybody that's going to be in a high place to say they're a Christian and that they love God and that they trust in His Word? Why do they have to say generic things like my faith is very important to me? Patience is tried by a lot of things, some of which Paul mentioned here. Let me just go back and read that. All right, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities. Listen to all these words. In distresses, in stripes. Now, we've never suffered that, have we? Imprisonment. We've never been imprisoned for our religion or anything. In tumults. Well, we haven't been any of them yet. That's a riot. We've not been in any yet, but it could happen pretty soon.
That's right.
In labors. Well, I know what that is. Do you? Patient in labors? You get tired of working? Yes. Takes patience, doesn't it? Somehow you just gotta gird up your loins and go on and just keep on going. Just keep on going. You got to dig it up from somewhere. In watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge. This is all how we're not supposed to cause offense, giving no offense in any of these things because of patience. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering. By kindness there. That's what we talked about last week. By the Holy Ghost. By love unfeigned. That means real. Feigned means put on, pretend, phony. Love unfeigned. Love that's real. By the word of truth. By the power of God. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor. By evil report and good report. As deceivers and yet true. You ever have anybody call you a liar? Have anybody call you a heretic? Ever have anybody call you these things? When you know you're telling the truth. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, and behold we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. So, boy, he sure covered a lot of territory there about patience and all of those things. Those are the things that really try our patience, that we have trouble with, and all those things he mentioned there. Afflictions, troubles. That's troubles, obstacles, opposition. Does everything go well for you? Does it all just go easy? I mean, do you just travel life on the path of least resistance? And nothing ever opposes you. Nothing's ever wrong. I mean, you've just got the Midas touch. And everything you do just flows like water. Is that the way your life is? Well, I doubt it. It's full of trouble, isn't it? It's full of obstacles. It's full of opposition. Do you ever go to work and nothing works? I mean, everything you touch breaks? Or something's wrong with it? You're in a hurry. Try to go to work. Got to get something done. You start in and you pull your rope on your saw and it breaks, you know, or it won't start. Oh, does that try your patience? Brr, 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 brr. Tries your patience, don't it? Afflictions, opposition, trouble from people, from things, just from nowhere. It's just that you can't get anywhere. You can't get anything done. If you ever work for yourself, you experience that a lot more. You just, it's frustrating. Necessities. Well, that means responsibilities and burdens. You got to be patient there. Responsibilities and burdens. You got children, you got responsibilities. You got bills to pay, you got responsibilities. That's necessities. Going to work is a necessity, unless somebody else pays your bills for you. Necessities. Things that you have to be responsible for. It'd be nice if people felt like the Lord's work was as necessary as their other work, or as eating food, or having things. It'd be nice if people felt and considered the Lord's work a necessity. Yes. In other words, that they felt responsible. You know, now we got a bunch of people out today sick, and I'm not talking about them. Sickness, that's a different thing, you know. We all know where we're at and what's going on. But that ain't the way it is with a lot of people. They just don't feel like they need to be there. They don't feel any responsibility. All right, is that going to give somebody an occasion to stumble? Huh? Is that going to give an offense to somebody? You better believe it is. Sure is. Let me hurry. Distresses. Calamities. That means calamities. Being closed in with nowhere to turn. Distress. Did you ever have the bills due and not enough money to pay them? That's a familiar feeling, ain't it? That's distresses, isn't it? Kind of makes you stay up at night and not sleep. What do you do? Well, if you have patience, you can make it through that too. Patience and faith, they go together, remember? Well, God will help us. And tomorrow comes and there ain't no check comes in the mail. And ain't nothing happens. And they don't rain money out of the sky. And the bills are still due. And they're getting later and later. Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you that God has always been faithful to me in all of that. We've never had much of nothing. And it's always been hard to make a living and make ends meet. But they always met. Somehow, some way. And so at this point in my life, I just don't get real anxious about it. I just don't. Because He's done it so much for so long that faith and patience, they go together. You just learn to wait on the Lord. He said He would take care of me, told me not to fret and worry. And if you ever get in that shape, go out and look at the birds. That's what Jesus said. Behold the sparrow. Why don't you just do that? Go behold the sparrow. And you're worth many sparrows, He said. You think God, you think your Father in heaven, who feeds the sparrows, is going to let you starve to death? I mean, Jesus had to tell these disciples that. It's one of them things again, you know. How could you? Where, oh, ye of little faith. You think you're going to drown in this boat out in the middle of this storm with me on it? Jesus is asleep. Ain't bothering Him at all. He ain't worried about it. They're thinking they're going to perish, and He is too. Boy, that no wonder, no faith. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Reckon He will. It makes you wonder, don't it? When you see how we really are. In stripes, that means persecutions, provocations, in imprisonments, being oppressed, just being cornered. You ever feel cornered? Just don't know what to do. Just don't feel like you can go on and you can't go back and you don't know what to do. Well, what's the answer?
Wait.
Patience.
Wait.
Yeah, wait. I've told my family, I've told y'all so many times, if it's bad, just hang on and wait. Because it'll change. If it's good, don't get too comfortable. I mean, just thank God and enjoy it, because it's going to change.
That's right.
I mean, the sky is clear, but it clouds up and it rains. And then they blow away and the sky is clear again. But then ain't always going to be clear. There'll be more clouds come. I mean, this is the way life is. Learn it. Learn that there are these things in life, imprisonments, in tumults. That means in contentions and strife and fights. Just be patient. It's so discouraging to fight with people. Why do people like to fight so much? Why do people like to be in strife with one another? Why do they want to do that? That's not pleasant. Who enjoys that? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oh, it's just wonderful. It's like the oil that came down on Aaron's head and run down off his beard and onto his garments. It's just a wonderful atmosphere when everybody's in unison. It's terrible when there's strife and contention. But if there is strife and contention, what are you supposed to do? Wait it out. You going to fight it out? Angry words stir up strife. That's right. But a solved answer turneth away wrath. So you don't fight it out, you wait it out. In fact, that's just about what you do about everything. Just wait it out. Patience. That's what we got to have. Patience. In labors. I mean drudgery, heaviness. Live your day in these matters one day at a time. Don't look at your job and say, am I going to be doing this 45 years from now? I can't stand it. No, you can't. Can't do it that way. Can't take it that way. You just got to go to work today. You may drop dead before tomorrow. A meteor might come out of the sky and kill you before tomorrow. You might get run over by a car. You might have a car wreck. I mean, you might just have a heart attack and die. Today. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Live today when it comes to these kind of things. The labor and the drudgery and all the trouble of life. In watchings, that means weariness and sleeplessness. You know what that feels like, Elizabeth? Gary? Sleeplessness? You do. I don't know about you. Yet, in fastings, lack of food or other basic needs. I mean, when you just, you know what it's like to just not have what you need? What do you do about that? Well, wait. God will help you if you have faith. So let's jump down to verse 8. By honor and dishonor. Well, when we're honored and when we're dishonored, we should be patient. We like the honor. We want to stop and slow things down right there. Now let's I'm honored. This is good. Let's stop and slow down and wait here. But if you're being dishonored, you don't want to wait, do you? You want this thing fixed. Now, somebody speak bad of you, dishonor you. You know, I mean, I saw a picture this morning. Preacher's daughter got married, you know, probably what I'm talking about. He put a picture on there. I was disappointed in what I saw. But here's what I think. I don't think evil of him. I think less of her for not honoring her daddy.
Yes, sir.
Yes. This conversation.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what's he going to do? What can he do? Wait. Just wait. Wait for the day when she comes back and says, Daddy, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Or, Daddy, I understand now. I'm sorry, I was so foolish and thoughtless and careless. These are things you learn as you go through life, see. All right. By evil report and good report. That's when we're spoken well of and when we're lied about and slandered. It's kind of like honor and dishonor. He mentioned all these things here. Impatience, you see? I mean, I'm sticking right with these verses that we are talking about here. And he said, in much patience in these things. He said, you're going to have, don't want to give offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. In much patience. And then he said, here's the things where you're going to be tested and tried. These are going to be the hard things for you in life, where you got to have patience. Learn it. As deceivers and yet true. Well, it's when all the world seems to think that we're a liar, even though we're telling the truth. Have you ever been set before a council and they say you're a liar? Yeah. I had that done to me one time. I knew I wasn't lying. You know how all that was resolved? Patience. Just wait. You ain't a kidding. About all of them's dead now. Or are they, you know...
Quit.
Yes. You just got to wait. And the Lord takes care of those things. And time is truth's best friend.
Amen. It surely is.
As unknown and yet well known, whether we are known by many or left out in the backside of the desert of nowhere and nobody even knows we're alive. Is it important to you that people know about you? No. It's way less important to me than it used to be, I'll guarantee you that. God knows where I'm at. And that's really all that matters to me. There's a lot of people, some people, that I'm glad they don't know where I'm at. Because if they did, they'd just cause me more problems. I don't have a lot of trouble with patience there. Just being unknown. I kind of like it. Oh well. Or as known. Now if all of a sudden I was known and my name was on the news and all of this, then that might require something that I don't have right now. You know, I might have to learn some more patience when it comes to that situation. He says both, see? As dying, and behold, we live. When it seems like our life is surely over or in continual danger of being ended, but we somehow keep on living. You know, when Paul said, I die daily, that's what he was saying. He wasn't talking about dying to the flesh. That was not even in the context at all. He was talking about every day when I open my eyes, the first thought in my mind is probably going to kill me today because they're hot on his trail. And they was aiming to kill him every day he lived. And so he just resolved every day when he got up, this may be my last day. Yeah. Or he said, I'm going to live this day as if it's my last day.
Yes.
Now that's what I die daily meant.
Yes, sir.
Boy, it means something different to a lot of people now because it's taken out of context to support a false doctrine. Anyway, well,
amen.
As chastened and not killed. I had to go back and look at that because that just didn't, you know how you read these long verses like this and something just don't register? Well, that didn't register. I thought, does it really say that? As chastened and not killed? Yep, that's what it said. Went back there and that's exactly what it said. When the pain makes life unbearable, but it continues anyway. You know, we're praying for a few people here that's grieving about they've lost loved ones, spouses here lately. And it's a hard thing. What's going to get them through it? Patience. We always tell them, and we always try to comfort one another with these words of, you know, you'll feel better after a while. I mean, it's going to get better. Time will help. I know people resent that. Well, they shouldn't resent it. Because it's true. Time does help. That sorrow will never go away. You'll never stop thinking of them every day. You'll never stop missing them. But you'll learn with patience how to live with that fact in your life. You do. Now you do. You must. That's the way life is. So that's what he's saying here. As chastened and not killed. You're chastened. when something is subtracted from your life, so important.
Yeah.
And you're not going to make it unless you learn to be patient. It's sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Our patience is proven when we have every reason to be sorrowful, but we still find reason to rejoice. Hope y'all listen. I'm trying to hurry. So I got a little bit more to say here. Don't want to be too long. As poor, yet making many rich. Peter said in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6 to the lame man at the gate of the temple there, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." Peter's pockets were empty. He had nothing in his purse, nothing in his billfold. Here's a man begging for alms. We've been seeing people down at the bluff doing that. I give it some thought after that about things to say to people like that. Because I remember a little experience down in Mexico one time. We were down there in San Luis and this cop stopped us and he was going to take all the money and everything, and that's what they do. Well, and in fact, I wasn't with them. I was there. We were all down there together, but they was all doing something. This one, they got stopped. It was his brother Charlie and Juan, and there was another one in there with him. But the cop stopped him. He was going to take her money, and he was going to take the plates off her truck. Well, they hadn't done nothing wrong. They was just Americans, and that's just the way it is in Mexico. And you got to learn that if you're going to live down there. And so they kept on and arguing back and forth, and finally Juan said, "All right." He said, "I'm a pastor," and he said, "I have a little money here." But he said, "It's God's money. It came from the church. Now, if you want it, I'll give it to you. But that's all we got in the truck." And the cop just backed up and said, "Bang, you know, get on out of here." He wouldn't take God's money. See? We need to be able to answer these people who are begging like that with something like that. You know, I thought about it. You know, I thought about saying to him something like, "You know, there's no way for me to know if you're really in need or if you're just taking advantage of me. But here's you some money. And, you know, I'm not going to answer to God, but you are." So,
right.
If you are really in need in this, then I want to help you. But if you're not real and you're doing like a lot of these other people are doing, then now do you want this money? So, anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there. As poor and yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Wow. By realizing our present poverty concerning worldly possessions is only temporary. And that we will, like the Bible says, inherit all things. Just realize your poverty. If you're poor here now, that's just temporary condition. If you're a child of God, you're really rich. So, you can wait then, can't you? If you really believe that, faith, then you can have patience for when Jesus comes and takes you to that place he's prepared for you. Patience is exercised and proven by many things, some of which Paul has listed for us here. How do you prove patience? By pureness, living clean, being blameless, not giving occasion for offense to anybody. That's what I said about, was it Roy Clark said just before he died there, I was talking to him, he said, you know, he hoped that you can leave the world like I am. I've never hurt anybody, as far as I know. Never hurt anybody. Huh. Well, that's pretty good, I think. By pureness. How you prove patience? By pureness. By knowledge. By knowing what you're talking about. By being able to answer. And not being ignorant. And not just repeating and mimicking what others have said. By knowledge. Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb on purpose. Learn what you can learn. Have an answer. Be ready to give an answer to any man that asks you of the faith that lieth in you. Patience. By long suffering. That means forbearance, waiting on others. Do you know what forbearance means? Now, it means that you realize that everybody else is likely to say something, do something, that you don't like in the future. And you just accept that as a fact of life and go with it, and you forgive them ahead of time. Yeah. You're not just waiting and watching and keeping score. You know, there's another. Yep, check. You don't do that. Forbearance is you forgive them ahead of time. You have a spirit of forgiveness, and you live realizing that you do the same thing. By knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, that means gentleness, goodness toward others. Talk about that last week. By the Holy Ghost, that divine presence in your life that distinguishes you from normal, carnal people. See that? By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost lives in you. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost if you're a child of God. So He lives in you. People can see that. You don't have to talk in tongues. You don't have to bark like a dog or chirp like a bird or dance like a monkey or swing off the light fixtures or run around the building. That don't show them the Holy Ghost is in you. What shows them the Holy Ghost is in you more than anything else? Patience. There's some power in you that they don't have and that they rarely see in this world. Real, much patience. By love unfeigned, showing that you truly care about others and are not just putting on a show to make people think you care. See, I've mentioned this morning Sunday school about a lot of these people in the world that try to show mercy by, you know, they have fundraisers and they do all this and they raise a bunch of money and they give a little bit to the cause they're raising it for, and they keep some too. All these charitable organizations, have you read the list of what the CEOs and all of them make? Yeah. Y'all seen the charts that shows you how much percent of every dollar that you give to the United Way or these other things actually goes to people in need. It's like that pie, Gary. That littlest piece in that pie might go to some of the people that have need, and the rest of it goes to all these guys that's flying all over the world and got their jets and their mansions. And love unfeigned. That ain't love. That's self-love. That's the world. That's carnal. When you see somebody give themselves, give their life, sacrifice their life and their strength and their heart and everything to the work of God or to do some other cause. I mean, they give themselves. They're real. What's this little saying we say often around here? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If people believe that you really care about them, then you've got a big door open. A door of utterance is open to you, to them. And that's the only way it's opened a lot of times. How can we expect to do any good if we don't truly love other people? By the word of truth, by the living word of truth, the word of God, not just preaching it, but living it. Patience. This is how our patience is exercised and proven. By the power of God. It's not of your own fortitude or determination, but by the help of God that you're able to be patient. I mean, do you ever... Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Do you really feel like Jesus is with you? Do you ever feel like His hand on your shoulder saying, whoa, now just wait. Do you ever hear that still small voice? I mean, the old timers talked about the checks. Do you feel the checks? I mean, do you feel the reins getting pulled back on you a little sometimes when you're about to lose it? Huh? Yep. By the power of God. That's how we do it. That's how we can have patience. I can't do it by myself. And I need reminding. And God reminds me sometimes. She reminds me sometimes. Other people remind me sometimes. You ought to thank God if you got somebody in your life that'll remind you. And you ought to have God in your life, and He ought to remind you. You ought to feel those checks.
Yep.
One more thing. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Just always doing what is right. Even if it costs. Even if it's hard. Even if it's not popular. Even if others think less of you. If it separates you from their company, I'll just do right. That's how you prove it. You don't have patience. That's the underlying thing. If you'll compromise to keep from taking the lick, then you don't have patience. Just be faithful to God, to righteousness. And these things, you'll be able to have patience. You'll be able to exercise patience, which will keep you from being an offense. I don't know. I'd like to put it right down on the ground a little better than that. It ought to be in our lives right here with one another. What is patience about? You and God, not so much as it is between you and other people. Your family, your loved ones. Patience. You know, we all need to stop every once in a while and just take a slow look back through our life and see where we were at different points. We can look to heaven and say, oh, God has sure been patient with me. God waited for me a long time. Then you ought to turn into the mirror and say, now, mister, you ought to be patient and wait for other people too. Everybody's not in the same place in life. Everybody's not learned everything. Dorothy's, she's just starting school. Just beginning to learn letters and learn some things. Now, we can't expect of her the same thing we can expect out of Wyatt back there. Or Alyssa. You know, I'm older than most of you here, except for Dad and Raymond back there. And it would be wrong for me to expect of you, expect you to understand and expect you to know things that I've known that's took me all this time to find out. What does it take? It takes patience. I've got to exercise patience. I've got to say, well, you know, you just not learned that yet. You got to live in that realm. You got to look at other people and say, well, they're just, you know, they're way back down the road. They've not learned some things yet that I've learned. That don't make you better than them. That just means you're farther down the road than them. Be patient. Wait. I think pretty often about, I just take a good look at myself. I've kept journals, I've kept notes, and sermon notes and stuff for all these years. And I can go back and look. And sometimes I just think, oh my. Why did I say that? Was there somebody there, some old man like I am now, that listened to that and shook her head and said, oh boy. Oh yeah, very probably. But he didn't chasten me or condemn me or throw me away or give occasion for me to stumble by calling me ignorant and getting mad at me, being impatient with me. Patience. There's a saying, patience is a
virtue.
I didn't even mention that you learn tribulation worketh patience. Well, you can interpret that both ways there. See, when you work something, you work a horse, you work your tractor, you know, you work that chainsaw. Well, tribulation works patience. Makes it work. You learn patience through tribulation, through much tribulation. We need much patience. So maybe that's why life's got so much tribulation in it. Wait. Wait on these children to grow up. Wait on those behind you to come along and learn. Don't have such a short fuse. Be patient with the people on the highway. Really, I mean, I'm not being funny. That's a serious thing. Everybody's got a problem with that. We're in too big a hurry. You're not behind somebody. Just realize. Just stop now and think a minute. Who's in that car?
Yes.
A lot of times it's an old woman or something. We come through town the other day. I stopped at the post office. Guess who's there? Miss Riggins. Her car is parked way down at the corner, and she had walked with a walker all the way up there to the post office, and she's trying to get in the door, and she's pulling the door open and then trying to get her walker through, and it's shutting on her walker. And so I got up here, and I said, Miss Riggins, let me hold the door for you. And so I held the door, and she went in. She was going in the other door, so I had to go open that door so she could get through there. Then she gets in her car and takes off down the road. Dangerous. One thing about her, she don't drive slow. No. I mean, if you're behind her, you're not going to get aggravated because you're driving too slow. No. She ought to be driving slower, but because when she runs off the road with that thing, it's going to be bad or into somebody else. And every once in a while, you know, I've run up behind the car and they're just poking along. There's a guy that goes from Williamsville to Elsinore. He must be a shuttle or something because he's always on the road in that little old gray Ford car. 35 mile an hour, top speed. But, you know, I seen him at the store one time and I realized he's just an old man. I bet he didn't always drive like that. So, I mean, he's lived long enough and he's put in his time. I ought to be able to just get home 3 or 4 minutes later. Ain't going to hurt me that bad. I shouldn't blow him off the road and shake my fist at him and holler at him as I pass him and try to cut him off and throw something out the window at him. That's wrong. It's wrong to feel that. See? It's just wrong to feel that way. Patience is not, it's part of, it's a virtue of strength. Amen. I'll quit. We need more of it. We need to exercise. We need to pray. We need to cultivate it in our life. It's a habit. It's a sort of a habit. Being impatient is a habit. You can break that habit. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the truth. This gets to me as much as it does anybody else tonight. Please help us with this. If we're going to be a Christian and we're going to wear your name, then, Lord, we need to work on this major, important issue in our life. We need to wear this virtue. We need to be obviously patient. And, Lord, help us not to be a cause for somebody to stumble or bring reproach on the ministry in any way. Help us, Lord, to live our lives so that others, everything they see in us, will cause them to believe there's a God in heaven that loves them and that wants them and that there's a way to live that's better than what's everybody's experiencing all around us here in this dope, crazed, liquor-drowning world. Please help us, Lord, to be the light. In Jesus' name, amen.